Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey everybody, welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I got two awesome guests with me, the hosts of the Two Doomed Men podcast. I got Mike and Chris with me. What's up, boys? How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Alan?
Awesome. Awesome.
What's going on, man?
Man, nothing. Glad you guys could join me. This is got a lot of interesting stuff going on in the political world. We got all this Cuomo drama. I know we spoke a little bit. We were going to talk about that.
I got the champagne on ice in case his days are numbered.
I love it.
Just keeping it cold.
You know, I was talking to a couple people about this today. You know, you have the Attorney General Letitia James, and unfortunately, and I'm willing to put money on this. Unfortunately, that's going to be New York's next governor. I'd hate to say it. I'm willing to bet on it. The only way for an Attorney General is to go up is governor. That's what Andrew Cuomo did. Mario Cuomo. She has her eyes on the spot. That's why she started the original investigation with the nursing home nonsense. And now she's, you know, going to play hero. And I got the big bad boogeyman who's a sexual predator and went after all these 11 women because she's going to move right in. And there's a lot to know about Letitia James, not just being a Democrat, because a lot of people don't know, or a lot of people in New York, they don't pay attention to that Working Families Party. If you're familiar with them at all, they're far, far left, further left than the Democratic Party. And they were instrumental in putting her in the city council when she had that seat, and she got into the attorney, you know, as attorney general. But I mean, what do you guys think of this, of the whole Cuomo, and now you have Letitia James on his tail? Like, what's your take on it right
now?
Yeah,
I definitely agree with you. It's a shame that, I mean, I'll take Cuomo gone however I could get him gone. But it's a shame that someone like Letitia James definitely has her eye on the spot. And the investigation probably is more political than it is just because it was the right thing to do. But this is to be expected with New York state politics, honestly. It's, you know, it's a hive of scum and villainy, as they said.
It's 100% political.
Everything. And, you know, when you say political, because that brings us into a whole. OK, so if you look how politics work. All right. So let's take. So you have, first of all, Cuomo infected how many elderly people in nursing homes? He killed them and he got away with it. There's no doubt about it, right? Yeah, we know that.
Right, the DOJ dropped that investigation.
Exactly. So, but now the DOJ, Biden's DOJ, so politicized, the Attorney General, that Merrick Garland, failed Supreme Court nominee, justice nominee, they dropped the investigation. So the Democrats are circling the wagons around Cuomo. They all want him gone. Biden's now calling for his resignation. You got Schumer, you got Gildebrand, you got Pelosi, all the top shot Democrats. They want to put him out to pasture, okay? Because now they're trying to save face of the Democratic Party. Now the Democrats aren't getting rid of Cuomo as the granny killer, okay? Now they're going to get rid of him as the sexual predator, because that's easier to swallow for the Democratic support base rather than their, oh my God, Cuomo got jammed up for killing grannies in nursing homes. This is horrible.
He's,
so now
he's getting
Me Too,
which is Me Too is Me easier Too'd. Than the nursing home thing, because I believe some other governors did, you know, follow the same procedure he did.
Oh, it's
go ahead, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all about. This is all for. This is all.
It's
the easier road instead of going down the path of him ending up killing all these elderly people with COVID. That doesn't go with the narrative,
right? No, 100%, 100%. It's so, you know, and he's got. So you were just talking about earlier before we started. About State Trooper, right? The State Trooper who got harassed?
Yes, Trooper number one, as the court documents are calling. I read some of the briefings here regarding her, and it's disgusting, man. What Cuomo's behavior and what he did to, this is just one example, but it's gross.
Yeah, he's got 22, 25 year old women working in his staff. One of which who was a victim of sexual harassment and abuse in her life, and he preyed on her, but played that up so he can do what he does. I mean, right. You see all these pictures of him putting his hands on women, big into grab in the face. He even does it to men, but big into grab in the face of women. I mean, he's a sick narcissist.
It's funny that Biden ended up calling him out, saying that it's time to resign. Because as exciting as that sounds, because I love the fact of the idea of getting Biden out. Cuomo out. But it's the kettle. It's the pot calling the kettle black. Here, Biden has done the same thing repeatedly. We have videos of him sniffing children. There's just that video from the other day where he gave that governor's kid something that he snuck into his hand. He does weird things with people, and here he is calling for somebody to resign over sexual misconduct when he's the king of it himself.
Yeah, he's and he made it clear he's not going to resign. He's going to fight it. He's going to fight it to the very end. He's going to have his lawyers respond to. He even said he's going to have his lawyers respond to every allegation. The Attorney General, Letitia James, she said he violated federal laws. He violated state laws. If he violated laws, well, where are the criminal charges? Is he going to get arrested? You have the Democratic majority leader of the state Senate. She's looking to impeach. They have an impeachment investigation. New York only impeached one governor once ever in 1913, and is Cuomo going to be number two in the impeachment?
Yeah, it seems like the only way they're going to get rid of him is by impeaching him, and there's going to have to be a political will, from the rest of the New York State politicians to get that done. And you got to think, if they don't get it done, they're going to have to deal with him afterwards and his wrath. As we know, he's got he's a toxic dude. Do you want to be on his bad side after trying to get rid of him?
And he's probably if they try. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say was he's definitely going to fight it. I see an impeachment coming, and on his way out of New York, he should just take his. Yeah, he's going to need to take his name off. Yeah, I'm lucky I could hear every other word from you guys, too. My laptop's completely going out the window once I turn this thing off. So what I was saying was I see an impeachment coming, because he's the king of doubling down. I've always wanted to play blackjack with him. He's not going to, admit that he's wrong and resign in any means necessary. So I think on his way out after his impeachment, he should rip the name off the Tappan Zee and be gone with him.
Yeah. They gotta take Daddy's name off the bridge. That's one thing they gotta do.
That's Daddy's a disgrace. Bridge. That was such a I'm the governor, I hold sway over everything.
Gotta go back.
Here's this new project that Westchester's been working on for a long time. So I'm just gonna put my dad's name on it. Why? Because I'm in charge and I could do so. That was so obvious.
Right.
No one wants his name on the bridge.
No, I can name the bridge after Daddy. I can sexually harass women and get away with it. I can lie about it. I can do all of these ridiculous COVID briefings.
No one calls it by that.
It's insanity. And win an Emmy and get a $5 million book deal.
He's like the most stereotypical sleazebag politician that could exist. Honestly, he really is. He's the most stereotypical one. He's like the perfect example of a sleazeball politician. And I think most people in New York do get it, but it's amazing that some just don't. I mean, you could see right through the guy. And if this isn't enough to put it over the top with the rest of the state, I don't know, man. People are completely asleep when it comes to this guy.
There are women still defending him.
Well, yeah. The thing I like about this, oh, I believe that The thing that I see here, though, is this is going to be a clear-cut case. If he gets off scot-free, it's proof right there. We have a two-tier justice system. Everybody that got locked up on 1-6 is sitting in solitary confinement right now. Everyone who got locked up during the BLM and Antifa protests all got their charges dropped. If this was, you know, if this was Ted Cruz who was harassing women, look at what they did to Judge Kavanaugh. Cuomo was a huge, you know, fighting, was yes. huge into fighting against Kavanaugh. They raked his name through the coals. And if Cuomo gets off scot-free, we have a two-tier justice system. Clear as day.
And honestly, let's forget about even Judge Kavanaugh or Trump or any Republican. That's the low-hanging fruit. Of course, if they did it, there'd be public outcry to get rid of them. But what about just normal people? What about me and you? If we had done something like this at our job to women that we worked with, you'd be fired from your job immediately, and they'd probably press charges on you, maybe a lawsuit. So this is another example of rules for thee, but not for me. Any normal person would not have survived this sort of allegation or an actual investigation. Imagine that. Imagine at your job, a full investigation, and you get away with it. Come on.
Yeah. It's insanity. Yeah.
Remember, there was the report that he went through some type of HR meeting, and he said, like, it was their fault that they felt uncomfortable I was touching them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I made them feel uncomfortable. Not even like I'm sorry. Like I didn't mean to make them feel uncomfortable. You know, I was joking around. They can't take a joke. You're the governor. You're talking about 22, 25-year-old staffers. What's great was I dug up a tweet from 2013 where Andrew Cuomo, and I quote, "There should be a zero tolerance policy when it comes to sexual harassment and must send a clear message that this behavior is not tolerated." May 17th, 2013. You know,
it's funny. They always have those tweets. There's so many of them. it's crazy.
You know, they never age well.
No, they don't.
And think of what he was getting away with in 2013.
Yeah. He what was the other thing he was he had said? He's just, you know, just the stupidity with him, with the whole Kavanaugh thing, how he came down so hard criticizing Kavanaugh. I don't know if he called him a gang rapist, but he was pretty close. He was pretty close in that one interview. And, you know, how long has Cuomo been this way? He's been this way his whole life. Like I said earlier, before we were on, I know someone that grew up with the Cuomo brothers. They were like, you know, fraternity guys. Their daddy was governor. They could get away with everything. There were a lot of parties out there where there were a lot of girls that maybe drank too much. And whenever the Cuomo brothers were around, they were sticking up for each other, and some bad shit. It's usually almost, you know, all the time always went down, according to someone that I know that knew them growing up, you know?
Yeah, that's the iron law of woke projection, as I call it, right? All these woke politicians and
they're not good people. You don't become the governor of New York by being a saint.
That's a good point.
Yeah, projection.
You know, Cuomo's pretty woke for a governor, although it's complete BS. He doesn't really mean most of the stuff he says. All of these woke people, you know, they project whatever they do. They're saying other people are doing, you know. If I could go back real quick to Trooper number one. She, on multiple instances, he asked her if he could kiss her, made her feel uncomfortable, and she actually conferred with another trooper who was on the staff. And what's crazy is the last note here on the documents is that the governor once invited Trooper number one to go upstairs at the executive mansion in Albany. She stated that she was at the time working on the lower level of the command center, which is the level below the mansion. And it's unclear whether the governor was inviting her upstairs to the first floor of the mansion or upstairs to the second floor where the governor's bedroom is. Trooper number one stated that she declined the governor's offer. And Trooper number one testified that this type of incident happened so frequently it became normalized. So, I mean, come on. What do you think he really mean? He'd been hitting on this girl for a while. You know, she's apparently very good looking, and he asked her to come upstairs. You know, come on.
Right. I'm imagining you wanted to pull the power move and bring her into his office. Of course. I don't think you wanted to bring her in.
That's the old move.
Hey, you know you want to sit in my chair?
It's disgusting, man. It really is disgusting.
It's beyond disgusting. And you just hear how every time he opens his mouth.
They got away with this for so many years.
Of course. How long you think he's been doing this? How long you think he's been doing? He's been doing it his whole probably adult life. You know, it just doesn't change. Now he's governor. Now he could probably, you know, hopefully get away with it.
Right. He still thinks he's going to get away with it. Definitely. Right. He didn't resign after the president asked you to resign and you don't resign. He's not going anywhere. Believe me. I don't think he's even going to get impeached. That's my personal opinion.
I always said, think of how bad Biden must have been that he was sniffing children on live TV. Like you can't give any less of a fuck right then and there. Think about it. Like the camera's on. Like if there's no camera in the room. Okay, you're crazy. Fine, go ahead. But like, the camera's literally on you. You're posing for pictures, and you're sniffing children.
And you know, not for nothing, but Biden got jammed up too. Well, he didn't get jammed up. He got accused when he was senator. There was that one woman. She said he pinned her against the hallway of the Senate building, and he put his hand between her legs, and whatever else he did. And you know. Actually, I believe Jen Psaki was just questioned about that today, about the sexual harassment allegations against Joe Biden, because he says, Governor Cuomo should resign. And obviously she danced around it. I didn't see exactly what she said. I read about that she was grilled about it. You know, they're all sick and twisted. Joe Biden's been sick and twisted his whole career from the Senate on up, you know.
Do you guys remember the video of him and the little girl in the red dress? And it looks like he pinches her nipple. It's one of the famous Biden videos of him with little, you know. The kids.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. She actually has grown up, and people.
I'm good. Yeah, that's what I'm going to bring up. About a week ago, she was on.
She actually grew up, and she gets hounded on Twitter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. A week
how
ago,
old is she now?
She looks like she's maybe in her teens or her early teens. Her name is Maria Piacenza. And she was on like an Instagram live or a TikTok live maybe. And somebody asked her, did Joe Biden pinch you? And she responded, yes. And this person says, well, why didn't you speak up about it? And she goes, I have friends that would no longer be friends with me if they knew that. And then she just goes on to say she gets DM'd by this person. And she goes, I would do something about it, to be honest, if I thought it would help. But I honestly just think at this point, it would just make people angry. And I've already had people calling me out saying I'm lying, that it's BS, even though it's not. But I just don't think it would help with anything right now.
Wow. So there you have it. How old? I don't remember. How old was she when the pinch happened?
That's wild.
I don't know the exact age, but man, she was young. She looked like single digits.
She was young.
Yeah.
She was young.
How do you not? I mean,
he was VP. Biden was the VP of the America.
It's just so sick.
It's so weird. Yeah, it's beyond weird. How do you watch that video and not, you know, feel weirded out by it, regardless of how you feel politically about the guy? You know,
he became moderate Joe to this progressive Joe, but he's always been, you know, just his whole flip-flopping, even with Joe Biden's the biggest racist in modern American politics right now. I mean, he was a segregationist. He was groomed by segregationists. It's multiple videos.
Yes.
Just
a lot of people don't know that.
1994 crime bill. No, the 1994 crime bill, where he destroyed tens of thousands of African-American lives with the nonsense low-level drug crimes with these mandatory 5-year sentences. Meanwhile, his son's out there smoking chunks of Parmesan cheese out of shag carpets like a piece of shit. I mean, it's just...
You know, and the funny thing with him, too, is you made a comment before. You said he went from moderate Joe to progressive Joe. And honestly, he really even hasn't. I watch a lot of the lefty podcasts and talk shows, and they're hammering him all the time because... Their goals are $15 minimum wage, Medicare for all, legalized marijuana.
Right. Right.
And he promised all of those things on the campaign trail, and he has no intention of doing all of them. He just gaslit you know, the progressives and the far left into supporting him. And he's just continuing the business as usual, establishment, corporate Democrat stuff. You know, I don't agree with those positions, but
yeah,
that's the way it is.
Obama's sitting in his basement in his sweatpants like he always wanted to have, you know, this idiot in his third term. And Susan Rice is I think, one of the main handlers. I believe she's the one of the ghost presidents, and I believe it's her and Obama that have their hands into controlling a lot of what gets done in the administration.
Definitely, it
makes sense.
I think the agencies are key too. The, you know, like the three letter agencies are very key in influencing 100%. What he's doing.
There's a whole string of people out there that are pulling.
Yeah, yep, the Alpha, yep, CIA, all the alphabet agencies. Absolutely. Listen, you. There aren't many presidents out there that have put their trust in any of the intelligence agencies. Back, Kennedy, Nixon. Obama obviously weaponized them against Trump's campaign, and it just goes on and on and on. I have no faith in the FBI. I have Bush. No faith in the CIA. Bush, forget about it. Bush, you know, he's.
Yeah, he was influenced by them too. They were pulling all the strings on him as well. Him, you know, Cheney and all those goons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Cheney. And now you have his wonderful daughter.
They're so far out of control. I couldn't even imagine how, you know, even if a president signed them out of existence and poof, the CIA is gone, I'm pretty sure the CIA would just go, ha, okay, yeah, sure, and just open up shop wherever else they want. There's nowhere on the planet the CIA can't get you.
Yeah.
That's something me and you have discussed before. For example, say we managed to get some hardcore libertarian president in there outside of the two parties, and the first thing he does is sign a bunch of documents and erases all the three letter agencies because it's kind of like a libertarian principle. Yeah, I mean, on paper, great, but are they going to really go away? They have so much infrastructure and so much backing behind them. They could pretend like they've gone away, but do they really? How deep is the CIA? How deep is the FBI ingrained in the fabric of society? You know, I don't even know how, if you wanted to do away with them, is it even possible? I don't know.
Probably not. The operations and the operatives and what they're involved in. I mean, you know, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but you hear, you know, that the CIA has, you know, influence over, you know, portions of Hollywood production.
Yeah, I've
you
heard
know,
that.
You hear that so much, and you know, you hear so many theories between, you know, Watergate. You know, I truly believe they have influence in Hollywood.
Like I said, I wouldn't put it past the CIA for literally hiring somebody and going, your job is to be a news anchor. You know, people on The View or just something, nobody that you would ever expect, these talk show hosts being CIA operatives. You got to think, this is an agency that has no boundaries. They've toppled governments. They've armed one militant group so they could train another militant group so the two groups could go to battle each other. They've assassinated countless people. They, you know, who knows how deep and what they've been involved in. They've thrown military coups and stuff like that. There's nothing that, like, they can't get their hands in. If they think having people in Hollywood or having someone at CNN or Fox or at Disneyland, for all we know, is going to help them, they're going to put people there. There's spies in the Russian government from the CIA. They could reach anything they want.
Yeah, I mean, they openly have people on CNN.
Yeah, they do. In high-level positions.
Yeah, they openly have people on CNN. You know, John Brennan. Yeah, we covered it one day. There's, you know, there's an insane amount of former agents or directors that go on MSNBC, CNN, etc., and spew the talking points. You know, and do you really think they don't communicate with the agencies still or getting a list of, you know, agenda points to hit? Come on.
You got to think too now. Somebody like
the
John Brennan,
gender neutral potato Brian Stelter, probably cleans the bathroom at the CIA.
You got to think, though, now that like somebody like John Brennan is involved in CNN, CNN's regular meetings and plans aren't, you know, media based and mass communication based. This is like a military operation, you know, that like he could bring to the table on how we are going to divide and conquer or whatever, or how we're going to, you know, relay the message. This is how we would give the message out there to screw up the enemy. So this is how we're going to screw up people. You know, he's bringing so much to the table that CNN never had before. It almost could be nefarious. I mean, we all kind of agree on that, but
there's one good thing. At least nobody's really watching CNN anymore or those channels. So not many people are
in trouble.
Yeah. Their ratings are at historic lows.
I mean, you know what really was interesting? That Biden town hall that he had with that idiot Don Lemon. You know, Don Lemon, the guy who hates white guys, but he gets on his knees for one every night. That Don Lemon, you know, the racist. Right. But, you know, his boyfriend or husband, whatever it is white. They didn't even fill a room, you know. Nobody's watching CNN anymore. I shouldn't say that because there are people that are watching it, but it's all these. If you ever go on the CNN Facebook page and read a post, it's amazing. CNN will post something, and then the whole thing doesn't even have to have anything to do about Donald Trump. But then every other comment is, well, it's all because of Donald Trump. It's all because of the Republicans because they're all white supremacists. They're all transphobes and homophobes and xenophobes, and they're all domestic terrorists. It's like the CNN and their following has become just cultified, you know?
Great way to put it.
It's sick. It's sick. Just like the cult of the mask cults.
Just like CNN says, there's people, the Trump supporters you need to watch out for, and there's the real crazy ones out there, but there's also the real CNN cult people that are on the opposite side you need to watch out for.
Listen, that there are extremists everywhere, no matter what the ideology is, but, you know, these people that are like, well, somebody walked through the Capitol and took a selfie in the rotunda, and that person should do life in prison. And if they're a veteran, they should have their pension taken away. And if they have a job, they should have their job stripped from them, and they should be persecuted and hung outside the Capitol. Like, give me a break. Yeah. Take your insurrection theory and shove it up your ass.
Right. It wasn't an insurrection, let's be honest.
No, it wasn't.
It would have been charged with it if it was. It was a bunch of people who are, you know, misled. And there's suspicious stuff to begin with, you know, regarding the FBI. You know, we've talked about it a little bit. Some of those people, though, man, on CNN, they obviously have, you know, TDS, and they're too far gone to even try and have a conversation with. You're not going to change their minds.
Go for it, Chris. What do you got?
I was going to say, it's funny because, you know, Skaggs was just saying that it wasn't an insurrection. You know, the FBI was involved, this and that, blah, blah, blah. No one's been charged with an insurrection. There was a funny meme that said, if Trump told people, and I'm not saying he did, and, you know, I'm not saying we should go do this, but if the meme was like, if Trump said to go take over the Capitol, we'd still be holding it. It wasn't an insurrection.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't an insurrection. You know, that was a Wednesday, and there was over 500,000 people there. Some say there were 1 million people there. I don't know how many people there. Let's take the number 500,000. Let's take the number 500,000 people on a Wednesday. If 500,000 people were there and they wanted to overthrow the government that day and they wanted it to be an insurrection, it would have happened. It wouldn't have lasted, but it would have happened. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.